Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. And I'm joined by Angela Cole. Angela, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Grayson. Thank you.
She's my co-host today. And we're also joined by Peyton Gilliland. Peyton, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
It's great to have you back, Peyton. It's been 3 years, and a lot has happened in those 3 years. But Peyton's here to share her testimony today. Peyton, just catch us up a little bit about where you're from and just a little bit about how you grew up.
All right. So I am from a little small southern town at the base of Virginia. It's called Clarksville. And I'm the oldest of three daughters and just very simple country life. Like, I know Harrisonburg to some feels very rural and small, but it to me coming here, I mean, I'm from a really small town. So this was like big city living when I came up this way and to go to college at JMU. But I love my hometown. It's right on a lake and really beautiful, but quaint for sure. And I have two parents that are both just incredible hard workers, and we grew up doing just a variety of things. I'm the oldest, so I naturally like had a lot of like roles and responsibilities that I had to mature very quickly, if you will. And I think that really was the start of a lot of the ways that I think the Lord was able to utilize my testimony, even though I didn't realize it then when I was little, things that from my childhood that he then worked for his glory and good later on. Anything specific about my childhood that you want to know?
How you came to Christ.
Okay, yeah. I did not grow up in what I would call like a Christian home. Like, my parents knew the Lord, but it wasn't something that we actively pursued as a family. So we did not go to church. I occasionally went to VBS and would, like, I knew who Jesus was, but I didn't know what that meant, like, in context to, like, a relationship with me, like, a personal one. I think I just thought of him as, like, comfort, like, oh, he is this, you know, God in the heavens that loves people, and I'm just get to be one of those people. But I didn't know what that meant on a personal level until I was a little bit older. I went to church for the first like consistent and steady time when I was 10. I went with one of my good friends. I was just at a sleepover at her house, and she invited me to come to church, and I wasn't going to tell her mama no. And so I went, and I was not met with like any, you know, it wasn't this like magical moment when I went through the doors. Like, I don't remember anyone sharing the gospel with me just like outright that day. I think for me, I saw a group of really just wonderful people who loved me. Little tiny church on a hill, but they were just safe. They loved me. They could cook really good food. And I enjoyed going. Like, I just, it was a place that I could find consistency. And so I did that. You know, I went until I could drive myself. My parents would drop me off at the edge of the gravel, and I would go to church at 10, you know, by myself, and tried to figure out Sunday school stories and just what that looked like. And it was just, I don't know. I look back on that, and I like, I don't know that that was necessarily where, like, I think I like had a like introduction to the Lord, but I didn't really know the depth of relationship, I think, until I was going to college. But yeah, I'm really grateful for those, that church, those people. It gave me a lot of foundational things, and it's just family when I go home and I get to see them. So yeah. And then once I, you know, had my license, I could take myself. I was getting ready to graduate high school. And I remember thinking like, what is this going to look like when I go to college? I'd gotten accepted into JMU, and I was ready to leave the town. No one else in my circle really left the town. I was one of a very small group of students, like, out of my graduating class that was actually going to go to a university. Most either did trades or, you know, immediately went to work, or they did like local colleges and schools.
Right.
And so I was like, nope, I want a new experience. And so I came to the Berg, and it was one of the best decisions that I've ever made. And it's not just because I love purple, which I do, but I love the mountains, and I was just so excited for newness. And I didn't know anybody on Jamie's campus. I mean, I did random roommate, all the things. But when I was, maybe not even a week in, I saw like If you like go around campus, you'll see like the flyers for the different like events and activities. And I know they use social media a lot now too, but back then for me, it was like a flyer on a billboard. And I went to like different events on campus because they had free stuff. Right. And I went to the quad because they were having this like tie-dye party on the quad. And I lived over there, and it was from a campus ministry called Crew. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of my like foot in the door. Like I had no idea, but they invited me to like their large group where they met on like Thursday nights in one of the auditoriums at the school. And like at first it was like free t-shirt, nice people, cool. And it really then turned into like really cool people. They love the Lord. I want to know more about that. And that was kind of where I kind of got like into a Bible study. And I was with, you know, like 15 other girls that we all lived in the same area on the quad together. And we were in a Bible study. I had a discipler and, you know, going to worship in large group settings. And those were things I really didn't even know, like the terminology for, like, I didn't know what a quiet time was. I think I knew like singing, but I didn't know worship. And which was so interesting because like I do sing, and I did that growing up, like when I was in church, even in my hometown, but I didn't know the depth of worship and the difference. And so I learned so much that first year, but that was really where I like met the Lord and fell in love with the Father that sees me not just for safety and comfort, but also just provisions and like knows my heart, and I can actively choose to have that relationship with him. So, yeah.
And Peyton, what, for those of you that don't know, I am blessed to be here today with Peyton because she's so dear to me for so many reasons, but she took the director position following me at Kids Harbor, which I knew long before she did that was going to happen. The Lord laid that on my heart for a long time, actually, before I knew I was even going to leave that position and you were going to take it. But I saw that leadership in you. But what year were you in when you came to work at Kids Harbor in an evening position?
It was the summer before my senior year. So I was like just finishing my junior year. So 2018.
That's crazy.
I know.
So I know some of this story's been told in the past, but it's just so amazing. She came as a college student and then grew, and I want to tell just a little recap of that story and how the Lord used it.
Yeah. I mean, I would say like that season of my life, I was truly like on fire for the Lord. I went from like small Southern town girl who knew nothing, but was just excited to be involved, to being discipled, to becoming the discipler, to becoming like leader in a leadership role within that campus ministry. And all that was kind of peaking around the time that I applied to work at Kids Harbor. I was going to stay in town for the summer versus going home, and you have to pay rent. And so I needed to be able to have resources to provide. And I remember seeing Kids Harbor's on an Indeed or something like that. And I saw that it was like in a church, which I loved. It was with children, which I also loved. And I was like, awesome, let me just shoot for that. And so I applied, and I think you guys had the spot filled at first. And then I got a call about that, but you asked to hold my application. And so then you called back like a few weeks later and were like, hey, you're still interested. And I was like, yeah. And so I came in and I started working that summer, and that was everything to me. And I had no idea how blessed Kids Harbor and like how blessed I was going to get to be a part of it, and how much the Lord was going to change my life through that season. Cause I was getting ready to graduate. I got engaged at the end of that season to my now husband, and I was just part-time working with kids. I was just helping to make sure that they got home, like at the end of the day, like
that's important.
Help the teachers clean, make sure they got home, and everything was prepped and ready for the next day. It wasn't anything like that I would consider high stakes, but it still was important. And I think I learned very quickly that this place, I mean, it's really built on the foundation of the Lord, and he is very present down the halls. And it was so beautiful to see the family atmosphere that all of these women, variety of ages, testimonies, life stories had, but they all still were connected because of this program. And I wanted to be here all the time. So over that time, I remember getting closer to graduation. I was like, okay, well, I wasn't in an education major. I actually have a bachelor's in health science. And I was like ready to go to nursing school or go to do something in the health field, and had already said kind of like my goodbye to Ange as like, thank you for this time. It's been wonderful. I cherish it and I will forever, but this isn't my forever. So I'm going to go and it's going to be fine.
She knew something you didn't.
She did. And God knew, and I just think
me and the Lord knew.
He's got such a funny sense of humor, and I was pretty stubborn about it because I was like, no, I'm going. And then things on, you know, that end weren't, doors weren't opening or things weren't working out. And then I was so tired from school, about to get married. There were so many things that were changing, and I remember a position became open for a full time here, and another coworker like encouraged me to apply for it. Actually, several did, but
I'm sure.
And you, I think, were probably just laughing, like thinking like, you're really going to leave? ? Like, I don't think so. And I was like, fine. Well, if God wants me to have it, then I'll have it. And I kind of went into it with a more stubborn heart. And then I got it and I was kind of humbled and was like, okay, all right, I'll listen. And so I started leading in the threes and loved that and did that for several years before the Lord started working on my heart again and went from, I'm a rooted person. So like once I find something I enjoy, I will plant my roots. Like you're going to need a big chainsaw to like cut that down.
And I relate to that.
Like, yeah. No, like once I'm there and my husband's going to laugh when he hears that part. Cause he's like, yeah, that's very true.
That's true. In lots of areas of your life.
Lots of areas of my life. But I remember being like, I can't leave this place. This place is wonderful. But I felt like God was calling me to more than just the capacities of a classroom and to aspects of leadership. But our leadership team here was so beautiful and strong. And I like admired them so much that I was like, they're not going anywhere. Like there's no, I'd already kind of gone up the totem pole as high as I could. That I thought. And we had had a conversation during our like eval and you like just bluntly asked me like, do you want my job? And I remember being like, no, I don't want your job. Like, and like, wow, she's crazy. And you were just like, you need to pray about that. And I was like, I will. Okay. I was so confused. And I didn't know that she was getting ready to step down. I did not know that. And the night that you told, I'd been having these feelings and this like calling I felt like God was doing in my life for, the better portion of maybe a year, a little more than that. And I'd been fighting against it. And then I remember the night that you told us, you'd asked me to lead a devotional. I thought I was going to be the most nervous that night because I was going to have to share God's word with these women. And then you stood up after me and you shared that and it was like the floor fell out from under me and I was like and it was this crazy like, what is the Lord doing? Is this why like I've been wrestling? Is this why he's had me here even though I felt called elsewhere? Like, and it was. So
I think he was tendering your heart and letting you know you were being called to leadership.
Yeah.
But you didn't know exactly what that meant. And I think so often we don't always know what the Lord's doing. Mm-hmm. And for me, as I watched you lead in the classroom, I remember saying to you, and then even inviting you in, you had no idea.
Yeah.
And I felt led to invite you into some hard situations and grow your leadership. And the Lord was just preparing all along. Yeah. And for me, it was a very big deal who I passed that baton to, because that hallway and that ministry was so sacred to me. And the Lord had used it to grow me so much. But I knew, like, I would just say, yep, one day, I think one day that young lady right in there is going to take the baton. And
she just came from the health field, too, right? At the Kids Harbor. Yeah.
Well, Peyton and I have a lot of similarities to our story.
We do. And I felt so, conflicted, like, who am I, Lord, to have such an opportunity be placed in my hands to care for, and how wonderful things had been and like what that was going to look like to carry it forward. But I was just so privileged to have the opportunity. And I mean, that was like the last time we had a Hope Talks together was I had just stepped into that leadership role. And I was like, I mean, I've learned so much. I mean, it's only been 3 years, but I've learned so much over that time. And I've been so privileged to have Angela Still as like, not only as a friend, a forever friend, but a mentor and someone to pour into me. But I think that place is so packed full of love and Jesus and quality care and just so many good things. But that's from the foundational like pieces that Angela poured in for 17 years. And so for me, the job was like, okay, God, help me to balance it and also respect it and care for what's already been established, because there's so much good happening. And so there's been minor changes, but nothing, it's been more creative things than it has like foundational, because there's so much good that's already been present and established. So,
well, and I often celebrate, I tell Peyton all the time, the relationship that you and I get to have, because often I don't think a new director would have the relationship that she and I have with the old, and it's precious and it's an only God moment.
Yeah.
It's what God can do. And, it's beautiful.
Like I still get your emails sometimes. Like
My emails.
There's still crossover. Sometimes I still get things directed to you and I like it. Like
it's just sweet.
It's sweet to have that like sweet memory and like remembering of what was and how beautiful it was and where it's going. And God has cared for it in all of it and the in-betweens. So, and our leadership team right now is just so, so beautiful. So thankful for both of those women and their testimonies and their walks with the Lord and what God's done in their hearts as they have been equipped to lead in the positions that they are. And then the team itself, I mean, it's just as big a family as it's always been. And that's my prayer, is that that would continue as we love on these families and the community.
Well, this Hope Talks is not about this, but it just gave me a new idea that we need to sometime come on and just do a Hope Talks for leaders about depending on the Lord. Because if we did not know, I would not have shown up in that job if I did not know him. But you've had a lot of personal things going on since. So not only did you step into the director role, which was a huge change, you and your husband lead, your husband's a pastor and you lead, so you've had a lot going on, but you also have a personal journey, and we have another member of your family joining us soon. But tell us a little bit about what the Lord's been doing in that area of your life.
I mean, do you have any particular place you want me to start?
You decide. Say?
Whatever you feel comfortable sharing about your journey.
That journey has looked like and what it's been to me. I mean, leadership is beautiful, but it's not easy. And I mean, life itself can be so challenging too. And like, I was thinking about like places that I found the most support over the years, and maybe I'll talk about that in a little bit, but there's been so much evolving. But I would say, I think my testimony as a whole, and I think this weaves in, but my testimony as a whole, I would say that the Lord has done so much in my life through the power of relationship. And whether that has been learning from things that weren't so good, or showing me things that were healing and good and teaching and growing and like nurturing that in me. But I have learned so much through just being able to be relational with people or have them be relational with me. Like, you know, whether it was as a child and I had my family, whether it was, you know, my friend inviting me to church, a simple invite that changed my life forever, and getting to meet the Lord that I would come to know as my Savior and be so just pivotal in my life. And, you know, going to college and getting to sit alongside, you know, all of those young women that were also seeking. And I didn't know what that looked like, but they taught me so much. And I adore that time of my life too, and the relationships I had. And then, you know, the relationship with my husband, and he was a strong Christian when we met and were able to, because we're from the same hometown. I don't remember if I said that, but we grew up partially together. And so you can kind of call us high school sweethearts. We started dating on like the tail end of our like high school journey, but it was more my stubbornness and his patience. But that's a story for another day.
That's a testimony in itself.
But he was a strong Christian at the time. And I was not, like, I was kind of on the coattails, I feel like, the whole way. And there eventually became a place where like I caught up. And so I've learned so much through, you know, that relationship and looking at it from a dating and then engaged and now a married perspective. And then ministry, we had no idea that Matt was going to get called into ministry, and what a beautiful opportunity that's been for us to be able to work with students. And he's a youth pastor, and so getting to pour our hearts there. And then of course the relationship with this ministry here at the church in Kids Harbor, and just all of those people, and God's taught me so much, and I think I've learned so much about his character through all of it in different seasons of my life. And the power of being relational with those around me. And that's something that I think I've really had to learn, because it's a hardship for me. I'm so good at being like, I want to care for you, don't worry about me. Like Enneagram 2, like that's very much who I am. And I want to pour into other people, but it's I'm a little more reserved about what I will allow to be shared about me or what gets poured into me. And so I've learned a lot, I think, over the past 3 years, particularly in the journey that my husband and I have been on, coming to where we are now, pregnant with this little sweet boy, and 27 weeks, which is like a miracle, a blessing, a praise.
Praise the Lord.
Celebrate all of it. It's a beautiful thing. And so I've learned so much over that time. So that's kind of more what I guess what you're wanting me to speak to, is just the past 3 years and what my husband and I, we've always had a desire for a family and to have children. And especially, you know, in our lines of work, you know, he's with students and I'm with little people all the time. I mean, and we had a yearning to have like a family that was created through like the two of us. And I think when we first got married, it was deciding like, you know, when the right time is. And I think there's like, looking back on it, like I had such naive thought of like that I was really going to be the one that got to decide the perfect timetable for that. Because I remember it was like, no. And then when we decided it was like a yes, it was like, all right, I had it laid out. I was like, and this is going to happen. And then this is going to happen. And we're going to go here and we're going to do this. And there we go. And I remember him telling me like, where does God fit into that? I remember him like telling me that, and I was
like, "Don't you love it when your husband's doing
that?" Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like, And it wasn't easy. And I have such I have so many thoughts on this topic, and I want to do well with my words for those that are listening. But I have a full understanding and hold space for the fact that the journey into parenthood, if you will, or motherhood, it's different for everyone. And that story looks and is shaped and defined by the Lord in the way that He wants it to be. And that doesn't negate the beauty of it. There's so many things to celebrate, but there's also I think there should be recognition and space held for the hardness of it too, because
sure.
For lots of women, including myself, the journey was not easy. And I think I went into it thinking it was, or it should have been. And because it wasn't, there was something wrong with me, or there was something wrong with my faith, or there was something wrong with my body. And I've learned and healed a lot from that. But I remember, in the beginning, it's fine, it's all fine, it's going to happen, and being hopeful and prayerful, and sadness weaves its way into that. And so does grief. And I think that had definitely started to take place in my heart. And even in Matt and I, and we're so much healthier, I think, now on this side of things, that we have more communication and just depth to our marriage, or just stuff that we've grown through. But I think back in the beginning, we didn't know how to really communicate about it. And I, again, didn't know how to ask for help or lean into my community, because it was more of it felt like there was something wrong and I couldn't fix it. And I like to fix things. But I think we tried for, it took us almost 4 years to get to where we are now, but we had been trying, even before I've become director, we had started that journey. And then it was, maybe this isn't the right season because I'm stepping into this huge role. I need to get established, all the things. There was always a what if, or a maybe this isn't where the Lord wants us right now. But I think that gets frustrating after a little bit, because you're sure. Well, I just want it now. Please.
It's timing.
This is my desire. I'm going to be impatiently patient and wait. And, but we were able to, I remember the very first time that you get a positive pregnancy test is it's amazing. I don't know how to explain that feeling, but it was just absolutely perfect. And it was the only time that I've ever gotten to feel that way out of all of the testings that I've done. And I remember just the purity and just the awe I felt for the Lord in that. And, we got to be pregnant for just a little bit and I lost. And that was a really tricky, I've had three losses for those that are listening, and they've each been a little bit different. I've had, my first was an ectopic, and so there was additional treatment and medications that I had to journey through there was a physical pain that came with that, but there was also a deep emotional pain and spiritual as well. Trying to lead this ministry, but I was also in a lot of pain. Some people knew, some people didn't. And it was an enduring that was really hard. They each were hard for their own reasons and their own specific circumstances. But that very first one, it was something in me just really changed my perspective and view of life and just all the things. I think there were just so many things that were shifting. And I think at the time I kept telling myself back then, I didn't know how to grieve, and maybe the Lord was using this to teach me. And because I hadn't lost anyone at that time that was, super personal, close to me, though I had experienced loss, it wasn't something so personal. And to navigate that with my husband, and it was a long recovery. So it wasn't it passed quickly. It was a 6-month recovery. And in the midst of that, my grandpa passed away, my husband tore his ACL. And so we went, that year was probably the most challenging. We've been married for almost 6 years, and that was probably the hardest year for our marriage as far as challenges, but it was the most defining and refining for our marriage as well, because it truly was in sickness and in health. Mm-hmm. And he took care of me for the whole first
half. From both directions.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I had to take care of him, and mm-hmm. learning how to serve one another through that was there's a depth there that we gained that I'm just so grateful for. So when you look back, it's hard when you're going through the stuff to look at it and say, wow, thank you, Lord, for this. But we can look back on that and pull specific things that we learned and things that we grew from. And that was a major one. So almost a gratefulness, thank you, God, for what you put me through, even though it was hard, because this is where we are now and we're better for it. But yes, so had that little bit of time went by. I got pregnant again And I lost that one as well. And that, you know, experience was different, but it was still hard. Yeah. And I remember, like, I was very, very much in a deep place of sorrow. And people that know me know that I'm pretty, like, I'm pretty joyful. I like to smile. I like to, you know, have a good time, like, and be present. And I always want to be compassionate towards others, but I was hurting really bad. And a lot of people didn't. People that know me, like, well enough know to, like, kind of sort through that outer layer that I was putting off as a protective barrier. But to most, they had no idea the pain that I was going through. And I was really struggling to share it because I felt so, like, burdened by the thought of burdening other people. And I was very upset with my circumstances. I was very sad and sorrowful and questioning, you know, what are you doing, God, through this season? And we were actually, like, my husband and I were traveling when I lost, and I was at a ministry conference in, like, Atlanta. And I remember sitting on the floor of, like, it was like a foyer that I was sitting in. I was surrounded by thousands of people. I mean, there were people everywhere because this conference was huge.
Yeah, it's a big one.
And I've never felt so alone. And I felt so hurt. And there were so many things that I was trying to process. And I was, like, upset with myself for being upset with a God who owes me nothing. And he's beautiful. And, like, the power of his grace, that's enough. And I was battling that thought of, like, and God, if you never call me to motherhood in this capacity on this earth, like, can I be okay with that? And that, depending on the day, depended on my answer.
Right. And, yeah. Oh, sure.
Grief had just really swallowed me up. Mm. And I remember praying to God and, like, apologizing and being like, God, you know, I want to do this right, but I don't know what I'm doing and I'm hurt. Right. And I need to be able to, like, actively choose you and choose to get out of it. And it wasn't like anything miraculous happened, but I think that was a turning point for me in my journey that I was going to choose to heal a little bit. And what that looked like for me was I started to let people in on a little bit more on my story. I have a beautiful community of people, like, so many people have poured into my life and, like, want to hold space for me, but I was so, like, nervous about giving them too much and being embarrassed or putting so much on them and them, you know, judging or turning away from me that I just held back and held it in. And I also started going to counseling. And I remember that I was sitting on the floor of that foyer, like, and I texted a dear friend of mine because she's also a counselor and was like, can you give me recommendations? And she sent me a list of people before the logical part of my brain was like, no, you don't need that. Like, don't do it. And so thankfully I did that before. Right. And that was definitely a God thing. And I was able to get established with a counselor. And, you know, I just left her office this morning and I've been seeing her for a year now. And that has been, I mean, it's changed my life.
Yes.
To have that. I remember going and she asking me, like, what I wanted. And I remember just saying, I just want a safe place. I want to be human. I want to be able to share these thoughts and have someone practically help me sort them and then walk out of it. Like, how do I take what I have and what I'm going through? And then how do I use it for, you know, God's glory, but also, like, put it in a capacity that, like, I can understand, but then heal from. Yeah. And I'd been through a lot. And I think for me, like, I really struggle, and I think I've always struggled with this balance of, like, I don't want to sound ungrateful even when I'm going through something hard. And I think that she's taught me a lot about how that's, you know, the Lord meets us in both places,
yes.
Both places. And she's just shown me so many practical things, but so also, I think, gave me permission to grieve. And I remember her telling me on one of our first sessions, because, like, I went in saying, like, I don't know how. And so I think that's why I'm here, because I want you to show me, how am I supposed to do this correctly? She was like, I don't think anybody knows how to do it correctly.
Right.
But she said, like, I think you've grieved most of your life. You just didn't recognize it for what it was.
Right.
And now that it's something that's so intensely personal with the fertility stuff that we were going through, like, I think it's now just kind of coming to its peak.
You needed
let's
to name
talk
it.
About it.
Yeah.
You needed to name it. And
let's
you needed to be okay to do that.
Yeah. And so, I've been seeing her for over a year, and she walked with me, you know, hand in hand through that pivotal time of loss and the bitterness and the loneliness and, you know, the hardship. I mean, everyone's journey is different. And I know for different women, I mean, there were just so many things that I was really sensitive to. And just trying to figure it out and what that looks like. How does that look also in context of, like, leadership and being a Christian and being a wife and being a sister and being a friend to those around me. And I wanted things to just look different, and I didn't want to be swallowed and consumed. And that's how I felt. So that's where that came from.
Thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. You've been listening to part one of Peyton Gilliland's testimony, and we hope and pray you'll join us next Sunday right here at noon on 1470 AM and 102.1 FM WBTX for part two of Peyton Gilliland's testimony. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.